We need to learn to be thankful for the things that God gives us. Because if we really want to be honest, he didn't have to do it. Now let me just get some formalities out of the way. And then, as I like to say, when God is done with me, I will be done with you. And you'll be glad to know I don't preach long. And everybody said, praise the Lord. Let's just pray right quick. Lord, I want to thank you, O God, for this day that you have made, that we will rejoice and be glad in it. And by special request, Lord, we ask that you will visit Robert Zhao's father today. You are the great physician, and you know everything about us, for you have made us and not we ourselves. And we pray, O God, that you will lay, we still believe, Lord, that you can do anything you want for as long as you want to do it, anytime you want to do it. So as he is there in that hospital, we pray that you will visit him today and that that fever will go in the name of Jesus. That he will receive his healing. And so when Robert visits his father, all shall be well. For you are the God of everything and everybody. Bless this word that we will bring to your people. Let it be useful for them. We pray for the divine unction that makes preaching easy and receiving and applying possible. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And now the interesting anecdote. I knew a preacher, a Baptist preacher from a very large congregation in the United States. And as you all know about clergy, there's nothing wrong with us clergy people. His particular challenge was time. He didn't like it when things were late, and it drove him crazy if he had to go somewhere and he couldn't get there on time. So, and since he said this publicly, I can call his name. So Kenneth Almer is there at the airport waiting for someone to pick him up. He has traveled all day. He traveled all day. And he was waiting for someone to pick him up. And an hour passed, and everybody seemed to have someone to pick him up, but he was still waiting for somebody to pick him up. It got to the point where he started talking to everybody there. Hey, how you doing? What's up? How you doing? God bless you. Hey, what the time is? And hey, weather's great. And yet, for all, there was no one there to pick him up. And then there was this one guy who seemed to be walking back and forth throughout the entire airport, and he would see this guy going there, and he, you know, he'd holler out, hey, what's going on? And it looks like they were the only two there all day while he was still yet waiting for somebody to pick him up. Well, it came to the point where this guy that was walking back and forth kept looking in his, he had something in his hand, and he would look and look at him and then walk away. And after about 3 hours now, he finally goes up to the guy. He goes up to Kenneth Almer and he goes, I gotta say this right, he goes, is you Reverend Almer? To which the Reverend Almer says, well, I was him when I got woke up early this morning and traveled all day and got to the airport, and I was him when I got to the airport and yet had nobody to pick me up. To which the deacon said, well, Reverend Almer, I'm so sorry, but you don't, and he looked in his hand, he goes, you don't look like your picture. To which Kenneth Almer said, well, let me look at this picture. I don't know if the secretary for Reverend Almer got this thing from the late 70s, but he had this big old afro in the picture. It was so big that he had to lean to the side to get it into the whole picture. He had this big old goatee, and he looked nothing like his picture. Well, this is a picture of the church. And how often are we passed by because we don't look like our picture? I'll let that settle in for a little bit. Now, while you're mulling that over, how about we open this here Bible? Let us turn to Luke's Gospel, the 14th chapter. Luke 14. And we're going to look at verses 15 to 24. Luke 14. And we're going to look at, I'm going to make sure I put my, I only have my King James, my official King James Thompson Chain Bible, the Bible of Champions. But since most of us may not have a King James version, I'm going to go to my trusty BlackBerry, and I'm going to, we're going to look at verses, let's go from verse 16 to 24 of Luke 14. So Luke 14, 16 to 24. And if you have it, let me know by saying, I have it. Good. Audience participation is beneficial for a speaker for two reasons. A, it lets me know that you're awake. And B, you're not tired of me quite yet. And it reads like this. But he said unto him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servants to say unto those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have bought a field and I must go out to see it. Please have me excused. Another said, I have bought a yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. The other said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. And 21, so the servant came and reported these things to his master. And when the master of the house became, then the master of the house became angry and said unto his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, bring out the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And the servant said, what you commandment has been done, and there is still room. And the master said unto the servant, go unto the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Now, in a completely unrelated passage of scripture, we're going to stay in Luke's gospel, but we're going to go in reverse, put the car in reverse, and we're going to go to chapter 12. Where's he going? If I told you where I was going, then you wouldn't hear me preach. Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. And if you got it, say I'm there. Good, good to be there. Like a good neighbor, the Bible is there. And it says this, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's it. If I was to give a nice, home runnable topic to this little discourse I would like to share to you, it would be kingdom identity and responsibility. Kingdom identity and responsibility. For the first time in my life, I found it hard to pick a sermon topic. I just might as well be honest. I'm not going to preach that long, so I can just, you know, it's a little confessional, only without the booth and the guy on the other side. And that is because there were so many things that came to mind that I should share with you all while Pastor Allen is away. I'll tell you quite honestly, when he told me that he wanted me to preach today, I basically told him at the we were at Starbucks, because he's a Starbucks guy. Me, I'm a Tim Hortons guy because I'm, you know, I'm Canadian, but, you know, but they're devotees of Starbucks, so I made a compromise. And he asked me to speak, and I was like, you want me to cook in your kitchen while you're gone? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay. And so as I started to seek the Lord on what I should speak to you all, literally I had like eight sermons. and then I cut it down to 6, and then I got it down to like 3, and I'm like, God, will you please hook me up here? Because I don't want to come up here and look like I don't know what I'm doing, and then have Pastor Allen listen to the sermon and thinking, what was I thinking? So, literally this morning, I was in the bathroom getting ready, and God kind of said, well, okay, you do this. So hopefully you walk away with something. Jesus, in his speaking, in his preaching, mentions the kingdom very often. He refers to it as the kingdom of God. He refers to it as the kingdom of heaven. And may I just say to you all, brothers and sisters, PPC family, one of the things that we as believers suffer from is identity crisis. The Lord's church over centuries, we have become something in many ways that is not what God had in mind in particular, whether you want to believe it or not. We have added so many components to our identity that sometimes it is necessary for us to revisit, go back to center again and examine ourselves to see whether or not we really look like what we're advertising. And so in Jesus' discourses with the disciples and with the multitude, he talks about that you need to come on to me, and with me, when you get to me, you get everything. And the parable that he gives about the supper is actually like a metaphor. It's a word picture where he's inviting people to come and get something that they need, but they somehow feel otherwise minded, as we like to say in church. One of the things coming up in church I heard all the time, well, I'm glad I made it here because I could have been otherwise minded. And this otherwise mindedness has caused us now to redefine certain words. Church doesn't mean what church used to mean. Kingdom doesn't mean what it used to mean. But may I say unto you today, if there's anything you walk away from after my little talk with you today, is that number one, you will understand what the church is, and is most importantly, what it is not. And that you will understand what the kingdom is and what it is not. If there's any way that Satan has, and yes, I use the S word, because God forbid we should mention sin, flesh, and the devil anymore. And Ron went, yeah. You didn't see y'all, because y'all looking at me, you didn't see what. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. And it's because we're afraid of offending people. But may I just say this? This is just a public service announcement, since Pastor Allen can't say it, you know, because he's your pastor. Now I'm just Wayne, so Wayne will say it, then you can get mad at me and I can't believe you said that. Then, you know, you can give Pastor Allen a pass. Watch this. When we talk about those kind of things, we don't talk about those things to unbelievers. Watch this. This is just a little segue, and yeah, we'll get back to topic and I'll be done. But watch this. When we discuss those things to believers, it should do two things. It should motivate us then to be more effective witnesses to people in our circle. Because if you really love somebody, the last thing you want is for them to die and go to hell. Survey says. The second thing, it should make you want to live your life in such a way that there's something different about you than the people that you're with. So when Jesus speaks about these things, and these are part of what the kingdom is, it allows us then to kind of modify our behavior and to motivate us to do those things which are the duties of a Christian. So let's work in reverse. Let's look at what the kingdom is. What is the kingdom? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, what is it? Well, the first thing we know that it is not a geographical location. In Jesus' discussion with Pilate, he said that my kingdom is not of this world. Which brings to mind then that when we as the church, watch this now, try to when we try to reconcile the world to God, because that's what we are agents of reconciliation. The last methodology that we should use then is to be more like them. And I did say them. There is them, and then there is us. There are members of the kingdom, and then there are members, people who are not of the kingdom. The kingdom essentially is what? The rule and the reign of God in our hearts and minds. Because it's not geographical. In an earthly kingdom, if you talk about the United Kingdom, for example, in England, that means the queen is the monarch and she has territory. And within this territory, her will and her rule are enforced. A nice definition of kingdom. So yes, I actually did some little bit of research. Let me wake up my thing here. The kingdom can be defined as royal power, kingship, dominion, and rule, not to be confused with an actual kingdom, but rather the right or authority to rule over a kingdom. The right or authority to rule over a certain area. And it is kingship and dominion. So if we are citizens of a kingdom, that means there are certain requirements that we have. Jesus says in chapter 12 that it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, isn't that interesting that the gift that God is giving us is rule and reign? Now, if I rolled up onto you and said, hey, use my man Ron. Hey, Ron, I'm going to give you a gift. And Ron goes, yeah, that's my rule and reign. He's going to look at me like, say, what? How does that benefit me? Well, it can only benefit him if I have something that will give him what he doesn't have. The rule and the reign of God means that God then has responsibility. Because remember, it's a two-way thing. When God says he wants to have rule and reign over us, that means we become his responsibility. And if we are his responsibility, that means it's he is obligated then to look after you. Some of us older saints will remember, be not dismayed, where'er betide. And the rest goes, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. And all the old people in the back of their heads are singing, God will take care of you. That transaction is mitigated by his responsibility because he has authority over us. So authority then is not an oppression, but rather responsibility. So then we begin now to redefine what kingdom means. Kingdom means that for the one who is in charge of the kingdom, they have to take care of us. They must look after our interests. They have to, when we get in trouble, they got to bail us out. But then we who are the citizens of the kingdom then must work within the confines that he gives us. And so we see now in these passages of scripture that the invitation is given, but everybody has excuses not to be in the, not to take advantage of the invitation. We see then in the other passage there, and I'm trying to weave these two together as God has given it to me, sometimes I'm slow in the download. But what God is trying to say to us today is that we here as a people, if we are members of God's kingdom, that means there are certain things that we need to do. But then at the same time, while we are doing these things, we must have faith and trust and knowing that what we are doing is of God and that God will look after us as we do his thing. So it's a two-way street. We do our thing and God does his thing. Kingdom. What kingdom is not? What kingdom is not is sometimes you see, you know, we think we're doing kingdom work because we're not denominational. Well, to that I will say, brothers and sisters, that what is a denomination? This is my segue into what church is. What is a denomination? It's just a group of churches that believe the same thing and share a common history. Well then, if that is said, that almost anything then, with whether it has a label or doesn't have a label, can be a denomination. For example, your money. You have different denominations, right? You have a $100 bill, you have a $50 bill, you have a $20 bill. In Newfoundland, they have a $3 bill. That's why I love my guy. But it's all money. Many of the things, brothers and sisters, that we misidentify ourselves. We feel that we have to, because you have a different title and I have a different title, you know, that means we're not the same. Well, may I say it to you, is that the church, the kingdom, is much bigger than we like to think it is. Now, why is this important to know? It is important to know, brothers and sisters, that we start to then redefine what church is, because in the large sense of the idea, we tend to cut ourselves off from different churches. This is our church, that is your church, and in your church you do your thing, and in my church I do my thing. And then within the church, sometimes what we wind up having is that we wind up having denominations within the same church. Well, I'm different from Ron, and Ron is different from Jennifer, and Jennifer is different from Steve, and Steve is different from Matt. But yet for all, we are all part of the same church, and the church is a part of the kingdom. Case in point. And actually, I'm halfway done. Case in point. Matthew, can I borrow you? Okay, can you stand up for a minute? Ronald? Robert, can you stand up for a sec? Watch this. We're trying to talk about kingdom identity and responsibility. Watch this. He says he's a part of the kingdom. Pretend I'm Jesus. I know I don't have any hair, but you know. Just close your eyes and imagine. Come here, Robert. Yeah, come here. Matthew, come here. Now, if I say, come unto me and all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Step right there. Watch this now. If I'm Jesus, I know, just close your eyes and pretend. And I say, come unto me, who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come into my kingdom. Robert says he's a part of the kingdom. Matthew says he's a part of the kingdom. And that means they need to be close to me. Right? Right now they're far. Now, come up here. Come here, brother. Come here, son. Watch this. Come here a little closer. It's okay. I won't bite. And if I bite, I won't leave marks. Come here. Watch this. Now, if he's with me, and he's with me, but they're apart. Do you get it? If he says he's a part of me, and he says he's a part of me, but they are not a part of each other. In the church I came, you guys can sit down. In the church I came from, we used to sing a song. Yes, you can, Robert. God bless you. Thank you. And thank you for answering. Watch this. We used to sing a song where I used to come from. We used to do this. Watch this. I know the Bible is right. And then the congregation would sing back, and somebody's wrong. I know the Bible is right. And then the congregation would sing, and they'd literally put their fingers up, and somebody's wrong. You cannot say you are close to God and not like people. You cannot say you are close to God and say, well, this is my church and that is that church. You cannot say that I'm close to Jesus, but if you don't look like me, you don't worship the way I worship, if you don't dress the way I dress, that's you. Oh, just missed it. That's a bogey. Do you get what I'm getting? Are you catching it? If we are all citizens of the kingdom, we all have to live by the same rule. We have the same ruler. We have the same kinds of responsibilities. So when God says, come, we have no excuses. So let us then, okay, now just to prove that I actually went to school, let us now exegete the text in chapter 14. Let's exegete the text. Exegesis is basically says, what do the words say in context? What do the words say in context and what do they mean? And once we figure that part out, then we say, well, how does this apply to me? We always do personal application last and contextual definition first. Topic for another sermon, because I will wear that one out. I'll leave that one alone. So, the banquet is set. The people that were invited now are being told, now it's time to come. The first guy says, what does he say? The first person says, you have to excuse me because... What's the reason that he gives? Put these glasses back on. That's right. I'm doing business now and I got to go check it out. So I have to be excused. Now help me out here, brothers and sisters. If you bought something, it's yours. It'll be yours tomorrow. It'll be yours the next day because you bought it. So since the field isn't going anywhere, do you really have an excuse not to come? Oh, it's Sunday morning. It's time now to come. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the habit of some are, but even more so now as the day is approaching. We know the Lord's coming is at hand, and it's necessary for us as believers to come together. Yeah, but it's raining outside. Now, maybe that one doesn't, you really don't catch that one, because if you're West Indian, that is our number one excuse for not going to church. Me would not come, you know, but boy, the rain are falling on me, not going nowhere, it's raining. I kid you not, even in Canada where we got cars, you know, cars. To this very day, I will go somewhere and, oh, Sister Smith, I didn't see you in church last Sunday. Yeah, brother Wayne, I would have went, but boy, the rain was falling. It was raining outside. Like we ain't got umbrellas. You know, and then the next guy, let me just get back there. I'm sorry, I'm visually challenged. I'm far-sighted, which means I can, far away is great, but up close is bad, so I'm doing this all the time. It's okay to laugh. Ooh, lets me know you're awake. Anyway, the next person said, listen, I bought 5 yokes and I need to go prove them. Please have me excuse. See, he was so caught up in it. Why is it that when we get new stuff, we just get wrapped up in it? I have a son, Nathaniel. Give him anything electronic, the house could be on fire. Like literally, timber dropping, smoke, everybody's asphyxiating. But as long as he's playing Spider-Man on his brand new shiny tablet. I can't breathe, but high score. If we are kingdom citizens, then our primary desire should be to fulfill the requirements of the kingdom because we receive benefits from the kingdom. It blows me away that today's theology, in the most part, is self-centered and not God-directed. I'm going to just say it. I'll just say it. I'll say it for every preacher and every preacher wannabe that's out in the audience. We are more concerned with our stuff than we are with God's stuff because we think, oh, he's God. So this man here with the oxen, once again, the argument is that I have to try these guys out. But like I said, the oxen will be there tomorrow. With every excuse that we see within this banquet thing and where the master has to say, go and bring those who can't come and bring them in. Once those seats were taken up, then go to those who are just walking out on the street and bring them in. Because the ones that should have been there really didn't want to be there. Now, how does this apply to us? many times we because of our misdefinition of what church is and what... I won't even touch praise and worship. Okay, I'm going to touch it. I touch it and leave it alone. How does the whole kingdom concept then go into praise and worship? Praise and worship serves two functions. The first function is that it actually brings people together. Praise, in the Greek word, is to speak well of something. When we sing praises to God, we are actually telling God's goodness to other people. It is actually horizontal. Now, I'm a hymn guy, I'm sorry. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. Bright and blessed, He shall prepare for us when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We are singing about God to each other. Worship now is actually vertical. It comes from a Greek word that means to embrace or to kiss and to prostrate. Older song. I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. And if I go back a little further, those of us who might be of the Anglican tradition, hallelujah, sing to Jesus, His the scepter, His the throne. Vertical. So when you get praise, watch it now, visual cue, praise, worship. Did you catch it? Praise, worship. You have both. Forgive my bad Latin. In nomine Patri, Patri Filii, Spiritus Sancti. The divine intersection of humanity and divinity are made possible through praise and worship. That is why you don't have to sing well in order to do praise and worship. What you really need is an honest heart. God says those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It must be honest. It must be done in the spirit, which means is I'm not doing it because I can. I'm doing it because it is the right thing to do. Yes? That's all I'm saying about that. So then the whole kingdom concept, as I draw this thing to a close, these people didn't want, they were part of the kingdom, but for whatever reason, for whatever distraction that they had, they began to make excuses and didn't want those things that the kingdom, they were good, it was good enough to be invited, and they liked that. But when now they have to make the effort to arrive at the banquet and to actually partake of what the banquet has, they are not interested. And so, kingdom responsibility. What is our responsibility now that we understand this? We are bidden then to act on behalf of the one who rules the kingdom to bring those who didn't get an invitation and invite them to come. Bring those who physically can't come, the blind and the halt and the maimed, those that will have difficulty getting here, we are to make effort and bring them. And those that are going to the highways and to the hedges, people that didn't even think about the banquet because they got other stuff on their minds. They could make, if they knew about it, maybe they would come, maybe they wouldn't, but it is our job to bring them in. Kingdom responsibility. Because the church, really, brothers and sisters, is an agent of the kingdom. A theological mentor of mine said that you can be in the church and not be in the kingdom physically, but you can't be in the kingdom and not be in the church. I'll say that one again. You can be in the church and not be a part of the kingdom. You just come. You like what the church has. You like the services that the church offers. And, you know, I get ESL. I get tax help. My kids get to go to youth group, and it's really cool. But I've made no personal commitment to Jesus. I'm in the church, but I'm not part of the kingdom. the rule and reign of God is not there. It's not over me. I'm not a part of it. I don't get kingdom benefits. I get benefits from the church, but I don't get kingdom benefits because I'm not connected to the kingdom. But you cannot be a part of the kingdom without church. So those who like to say, well, you know, I believe God in my own way and I don't need church, well, you're wrong. Sorry. Because really, let's just say, I'm closing my Bible. Who does this belong to? Who does this belong to? Now, at the back of your mind, you might say us. You're wrong. Only one person owns the church. This church, the other church at the other side of Brattle Town, and every other church in this city and in the world. Because only one person paid for it with his life. That's Jesus. Jesus owns the church. And as such, we must then make sure that the church is an agent of the kingdom. We must make sure then that I conduct myself so that when people see me, they see something different. Because as much as we are citizens of Canada, as much as we are citizens here in Scarborough or Stouffville or wherever we come from, we are only passing through this life. Because we acknowledge our earthly prime minister, but we have a king that we belong to, and his name is Jesus. Some of us here, maybe you've not made any personal faith commitment to Jesus. Well, may I tell you that there is no better citizenship you could have than to say that you're a kingdom citizen. That there's not just rules and regulations that we follow. No, there are certain things that we must do. That is true. But our responsibility is much, much smaller than the benefits that we receive. There's an old song they used to sing, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Heed me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my might, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. What we are required to do as believers is much small, very small in comparison to the benefits that we receive. As we leave this place today, let us strive to be kingdom citizens, which is much bigger than the four walls of the building that we worship in. May the people in this community not only benefit from the building, but the kingdom citizens that are in the building. That is true service. That is true benefits. That is how we identify ourselves as citizens of the kingdom and what our responsibility to the one who rules that kingdom. God bless you today. Shall I pray? If y'all can just stand upon your feet. Y'all can stand. We have some of our elders here. Now, maybe this has made you think. Maybe you would like, you know, you can pass. Elder Ron is here and some of the other elders are here. You know, the Bible says that you should call for the elders of the church, and then, you know, if there is sin, that they can be forgiven, and if you are sick, that they can call in the name of the Lord on your behalf, because that's what they're there for. But as we close today, let us broaden our vision. Let us expand what we think Broadwood Park Church is about, because Broadwood Park Church spelled backwards is God's kingdom. We belong to God, and He belongs to us. And our responsibility then is to share Him with everybody that we know, because we don't want anybody we know not being a part of the kingdom. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you, God, for the worship and the word today. We want to thank you, God, that you came and you died for us and you made it possible for us to be connected to you. And as we are connected to you, we pray that you will live this life of kingdomship through us, that others might see you in us. For the only Bible that some people will ever read is the lives we lead and the words we speak. Let us have this in our minds as we go through this week. We pray, O God, for the safe return of our pastor and his wife. We pray, O God, for those who are sick among us and for those that are sick, that are our family members. You are the great physician. We pray, O God, for your blessing and for your guidance and for your will to be done in us. We thank you, O God, for every blessing today. In Jesus' name.